So I just want to make clear that I don't count people by the numbers, and I'm not out looking to espouse a point of view. Though in the wake of the Jesus program, I must tell you, we learned from your criticism to some extent and went looking as we try to paint yet another portrait of a major figure in Christianity. As we tried to paint this portrait, I hope and think we heard more voices this time.
Well, I would, you know, I would certainly like to think that that is the case. However, from what I see, we have four evangelicals in this new program, and several of those would be very moderate on the evangelical side. The evangelicals in Great Britain are quite different than America. And there's seven people, double the number almost, from the Wistar Institute, which is the parent seminar of the Jesus Seminar and Paul Seminar and the other things like that, plus numerous other well-known liberals that aren't even with them. And it must be a half a dozen Jewish people there that certainly are not going to take an Orthodox view of either Jesus or Paul, which makes about three or four to one. So if you're, I guess what I'm saying is, it would seem to me, and I'm not a journalist, that journalistic integrity would involve the fact if you're presenting two sides, which are two major sides, you either believe in the deity and a resurrection of Christ or you don't, that there ought to be some kind of fair balance between the positions that are being set forth.
We have 27 scholars on our list in the Paul program. And for us, you have to understand that it is not a question of whether a person was a liberal or a conservative as being the only criteria in choosing a character.
But isn't there something to say about the fact that journalism and journalistic integrity would involve a search for the truth?
Oh, without question, Dr. Kennedy, and you, I think, know my answer to that immediately. I'm looking for as many opinions and ideas and references in all this regard as I can. Your truth, I fully, one, wholeheartedly accept. And, but it's not everybody's truth, and you know that.
Well, of course, I believe that there are such things as absolutes and that there is an absolute truth. And the fact that it was true before I ever believed it, and I was almost 25 years old before I ever believed, but when I was 22, it was still true and I didn't believe it. And, I mean, I did not believe Christ rose from the dead, and I was 23. And then I'm 26, and I do believe that Christ rose from the dead, and nothing changed except me. Ultimately, there is a naturalistic and a supernaturalistic approach to these things. We're not talking about the price of crude oil or global warming. We're talking about God and his revelation in Jesus Christ here in the world and his death for the sins of mankind and his resurrection from the dead. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that the natural man, the unregenerate man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So the natural man who looks at things from a purely naturalistic, materialistic point of view is never going to be able to understand much of anything about Christianity.
But Dr. Kennedy, give me a little room on the page here to say the following. We have all seen how much debate and how much misunderstanding, I think you would argue, has occurred as the result or been generated by Mel Gibson's movie.
Yes.
And I think we would agree there's been a lot of misunderstanding about what the Bible actually says about Jews and Judaism. I think it's helpful for us as, call us if you will, secular journalists, to point out in our program, as we shall, that every scholar across the spectrum, from evangelical to arch-liberal, from secular and Christian to Jewish scholars, agree on two things that people aren't aware of necessarily. Paul may be blamed for anti-Semitism, but he gets a bum rap, excuse my language. So give us, it seems to me, a little space on the page to take a closer look at the Passion stories from that perspective, and all the places, and look at all the places in Paul's letters that have found him, that it ended up finding him accused of anti-Semitism, and let us discuss it with the scholars. I seems to me that's only productive, good for understanding whatever your basic belief is.
All right, I'll go along with that with one proviso, if I may, add this to the bottom of the page, and that is this. You know, and I know, that this same program could be made, and who knows, I haven't seen it yet. It might be made using a equal number of believing, and that is from a Christian perspective, believing in the Christian orthodoxy of 2,000 years and those that don't believe it. You know that such a program as that could be made. And as you will know, and you said yourself at the beginning here, when we presented a special on Who Is This Jesus, we had both believers and unbelievers on the program, but they were much more, by the way, this was stated by Richard Ousling, that it was a religious editor for Associated Press, formerly religious editor for Time Magazine, mm-hmm. and he said that ours was more balanced than yours. Are you aware of that?
Actually, I'm not aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to say even about it, because I would never want to even compete with you on the issue of balance. I didn't set out to do a, quote, balanced or imbalanced story. When I went to live in the Middle East in the early 1970s as the first American television reporter, I had a pretty strong sense of what I thought truth was in a story. And after having lived immersed in the Holy Land with Jews and Muslims and Christians, I came to realize that there are, for many people, different truths. And I really believe, if they ever put anything on my tombstone, I hope they'll say that I was fair. And to be fair to me means to let the general community of man hear the variety of opinions which inform our beliefs today.
By the way, of course, I take into account other people's points of view. You know, there are some people, not yourself, that believe that pluralism is some sort of modern phenomenon. But the gospel began, and certainly your search for Paul would have brought this very clearly, the gospel began in a very pluralistic world,
right,
in which you had Roman religion and Greek religion and all of the various other kinds of Near Eastern religions and Eastern religions that were prevalent in the Roman world.
Somebody asked me earlier today, why did I think that Christianity, you know, which began as a small Jewish movement, why it prevailed in the Roman Empire, and how was it that 200 or 300 years later it was the official religion of the Roman Empire? But it is fascinating that I think that people, perhaps in the Roman Empire, were tired of the lack of return from the pagan gods or the imperial gods, and that what they found in Christianity was, I think, what you and so many of us do, a deeply compassionate personal belief that they found deeply, much more deeply satisfying than they had praying to the pagan gods.